I was reading, as I try to do every day, I read through my Bible. I've been reading through the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians as well as other books, and trying to get to see what Paul is trying to tell the church of Thessalonica here. I believe Paul wrote this letter to the church of the Thessalonians to encourage and comfort them. Throughout this letter, you'll notice that Paul emphasizes steadfastness in the Lord and a continuing growth in faith and in love in the midst of trying times. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says this, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." Let's look at First Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. But that was a good verse anyway, because you see the tribulations there. They're all good verses, amen. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Look at verse chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. Just picking out a few verses here to see that they went through some trying times. "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." Listen to what he says here. "For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." The early church had a lot of persecution. Remember, Paul himself persecuted the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And he says he was injurious. And he was on his way to have more Christians thrown into prison when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. It says in verse 15, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men." Let's look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more." So again, he's encouraging them and comforting them in these things. In these difficult times, look what he says in verse 13 of chapter 4, very familiar verse of scripture, often hear this passage preached at a funeral, but it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." What does that mean? They died, right? And of course, the Bible always says for a Christian, it mentions that even as Jesus said, "You shall never die, believest thou this?" He refers to it as sleep, but the idea is that they had died. And so very possibly they were martyred for their faith, some of these in Thessalonica. And so these were troubling times. In fact, look at 2 Thessalonians now. And verse 1, 1 through 4, he says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God." Listen to what he says here, "for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." So you think they were going through some difficult times? I think they were, and I think Paul was encouraging them to in their faith and in their love for one another. And by the way, that's very important that Christians stick together, isn't it? And love each other and care for each other. Like we, you know, when we have right now, we have some in our church family who are going through a great trial of their faith with their health and so forth. And we need to be loving and caring and and stick by their side and help them as much as we can. And the least we can do is pray for them. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. And so we need to pray. And this is not a boast. This has nothing to do with Pastor Terry. But years ago, I started a prayer journal. And I would really, really encourage you to do that. I won't ask how many have a prayer journal, but this past week I was able to put in the answered prayer two answers to prayer. And one of them was for over 2 years I've been praying about that. And I was able to put in there in a specific answer to that prayer. Now that's faith building. And so we need to pray. And like I said, I'm a man of like passions. I have sinned. I'm not perfect. If I would say I have no sin, I would deceive myself and the truth would not even be in me. So we're all sinners, but God is gracious and He wants us to talk to Him and pray. And so I was very thankful that I was able to see this past week two definite answers to prayer. And God doesn't always answer the way I want it to go. In fact, when I do pray, I try to pray, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Maybe it's not your will. And sometimes after a certain point in time, depending what I was praying for, I may have to just say, just cross that off. Maybe God changes my mind about praying for that particular thing or something. But usually there's either a yay or a nay, or just keep on praying. And so let me encourage you to pray. All right, the title tonight is Timeless Truths in the Time of Trouble. By the way, are we going to go through any trouble? I just talked to somebody yesterday and believes that we very well may see here in the United States persecution. And that's very possible. We don't know. But really, we got it pretty easy here in America, and I think we become pretty soft. But there are some countries where there is severe persecution for Christians, and one day we may face that as well. And just like I believe that these people in their time were facing persecution and tribulations and so forth. And so let's look at some things tonight that I believe will help us in the time of trouble. It could be persecution, it could be health, it could be financial. It could be just somebody that you're working with that is just really a thorn in the flesh, so to speak. What do you do? And so I hope these very simple, practical things will be a help and a blessing to you tonight. Let me just give you a few more verses and then we'll pray. In Job 5:7, it says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." You have any trouble in your life? It's all easy. I like to be in a good mood and happy and joyful and all that, but I have to be honest, I'm not always like that, right? I'm not always happy. I'm not always happy because sometimes the circumstances in my life aren't very nice to be happy about. But I'm to rejoice in the Lord, am I not? And we'll talk about that. Job 14:1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I don't know if we're in the last days or not. Paul thought when he was alive that they were in the last days. I think the idea is this: we know that Jesus Christ could come at any time and we need to be ready for Him. I mean, He could come tonight. He really could. We don't know that. We don't know. In fact, no man knows. And I thought about even preaching a message along that type of a subject. I know that people in the past, crazy people I guess we'd call them, wrote things like, I don't know, was there a book out one time, 99 Reasons Why Jesus Christ Come Back in 1999? I don't know. I know there was a title like that somewhere, someplace. I don't know what year it was. But no man knows that. We're supposed to be ready, because at any time, Jesus Christ could come back. And so, perilous times will come in the last days. So, if that would be in our days, hopefully these truths that we find out tonight would be a help to us. Because they would be difficult days. God never said it'd be easy, did he? But he promised to help us. And so we need to keep these things in mind. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I'm glad about that because I know my God is greater than anyone or anything. And I serve an all-powerful God. I like to think about that. All-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, eternal God. And, you know, not only is he all-powerful, but he's eternally all-powerful. So he'll always be all-powerful. And not only is he all-knowing, but he's eternally all-knowing. He's always going to be all-knowing. And, wow, you and I can't comprehend that, can we? Eternity. And I still remember, even before I was saved as a little boy, thinking about eternity past. And I don't know why my mind thought that. I don't know what, but anyway, it's you try to rack your brain on that for a while, and you'll, I think it was Pastor Bob Hamlin, Vicky's dad, say is, you get about as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. He had a lot of sayings like that. But anyway, that'll confuse you, all right. All right. A couple more verses here. 2 Timothy 3:11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul says this to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And let me encourage you, we need to continue in the things that we learn, because those persecutions, those afflictions, may come upon us someday. And so, and whatever that might be. So Paul gives some practical advice here to help us in the midst of trials and difficulties. And we're going to look at them. Let's pray. Father, help me tonight. I want to be an encouragement and a blessing to everyone that's here this evening. Give us ears to hear. And Father, again, empty me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just use your word tonight in our hearts and lives. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you teach us and what we can remember to retain in our minds and to practice these things so that we can be a servant, a child of God that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. There's a few, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 20. This, what is that? Five verses. Some real short verses here. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Okay. Just two words. Jesus and wept. Well, here we have in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Just two words, but there are more, more letters and more. So it's not the shortest verse. So it's probably the second shortest verse in the Bible, right? But what a good verse it is. Some practical advice. In the midst of the time of trouble, there needs to be praise. It's going to be simple tonight, but to rejoice evermore literally means to have praise in our hearts to God at all times. It has the idea, rejoicing is to be well, to thrive. And by the way, this is an imperative verb, so it's a command. Meaning it's not to be avoided, it's necessary. It is necessary for you and me to praise the Lord. Now, in order to praise the Lord, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have our mind upon the Lord and what he's doing in our lives and what he has done and what he's going to do and so forth. By the way, if we would say, open this up to a time of testimony and say, do you give us something you can praise the Lord about tonight? I hope you would have plenty of things to praise the Lord about. I praise the Lord. I'm a child of God. Why? I don't deserve it. Why did God choose to save me and not my brother. I have a lost brother. In fact, I have two brothers, and I'm not so sure about the other brother, if he's truly saved or not. God burdened me several years ago to witness to every one of my brothers and sisters, and that wasn't the easiest thing to do. But I went to each one of them personally and gave them the gospel. And my oldest sister, I knew she was a Christian because she invited my mother and father to go to church, and it was through they're inviting my mom and dad that my mother and father got saved, and ultimately I got saved and started going to church. Because growing up, my other brothers and sisters never went to church because my parents didn't go to church. But my oldest sister, who was quite a bit older than me, got married, and she and her husband went to church. In fact, I still remember the very first time we went to visit my sister and my brother-in-law. I was such a little boy when she got married, I didn't even know she was my sister. When my mom and dad went to visit her and we went to the house, I said, "Who is this?" And they said, "Well, this is your sister." "It's not my sister," I said. And of course, my mom and dad had to teach me and tell me, "No, this is your sister." And so that's how far apart we were. But anyway, she got saved. And so I knew that, but I went to my brother. I have a brother, Barry. Well, let's start with the oldest, my brother, Leon. I'm still burdened for him. I would send him tracts. I witnessed to him. And I really believe the Holy Spirit of God convicted him. But he got mad. Instead of getting saved, he got mad. And he got mad at me. And he said, "You must think I'm a terrible person." And I said, "No." And I explained, we're all sinners. And for a couple of years, he wouldn't talk to me. And thankfully, he does today. And I still try to be an example and a witness around him, but I'm very careful. I gave him the gospel, but I haven't given up praying for him. But listen, I can praise God. I'm a child of God. God saved me, and why, I don't know, but he didn't save my brother. And so I have a lot to praise the Lord about. I can praise God that I have a Christian wife who loves the Lord and serves the Lord. And I've had a good marriage. Some people get married and don't have a good marriage. Now, I haven't always been a good husband. Don't let me fool you. But praising the Lord. You know, we've got a lot to praise the Lord about. It says in Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." What's it mean, continually? That means all the time. We ought to be praising the Lord. Praising the Lord for things. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalm 50, verse 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." Think about that. If you offer praise to God, you're glorifying him. And that's what we ought to be, giving God glory. Listen, we have a lot to praise God for, do we not? And so we ought to be joyful. We ought to be rejoicing. We can rejoice in the Lord. We don't have to rejoice in all the way things are in this world, or maybe even the way things are going in our life. But we can rejoice in the Lord. We can praise the Lord for things that he's doing. Psalm 33:1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Means it's becoming, it's befitting, it's suitable, it's beautiful, it's proper. It's proper for you and me as a Christian to praise the Lord. Now I want us to turn to hold our place here, but let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Oh, I didn't get to all my other brothers and sisters, but I won't go there. But each of the others said to me that they had made a profession of faith. Now, their life doesn't back it up, but my other sister, I do know she does go to church, probably not a church that you and I would think would be the best for her to go to, but she is going to church now that she's older, and I'm thanking the Lord for that. My other brother, who said he had gotten saved, does not darken the door of a church, but I'm trusting that he is truly saved. But anyway, pray for my brother Leon. I'm still burdened for him, and I would love to see him get saved. He's getting older, and if he doesn't soon get saved, he'll be forever lost. And that's a horrible thing. And all right, 1 Peter 4:12, moving on here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Verse 13, but rejoice insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 14, I missed that. But if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And so that verse is saying, even when we go through some strange trial of our faith, we're to glory in God, we're to praise God. Now, if we suffer for being an evildoer, we don't glorify and praise God about that. We deserve it then. But if you're living a righteous life and you go through difficulty, as these folks apparently were, because Paul commended them for their faith and their steadfastness and their love and so forth, and yet they were going through a great trial of affliction and persecution. And then he gets to this at the very end here, and he says, rejoice evermore. So folks, we need to learn to rejoice in the Lord and praise the Lord. Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Are you glad about that? My name's written down. I'm in heaven. You know, when we become a child of God, it's guaranteed. I'm guaranteed heaven. I can't lose it. Now, that doesn't give me a license just to do whatever I want, does it, right? But I'm thankful that my name is written down in heaven. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to heaven. That's something to praise the Lord about. You know, think about heaven, would you? From time to time, maybe when you're going through times of difficulty, just think how wonderful it's going to be in heaven. Think about the things that aren't going to be there. Try to name them. Have you ever done that? I've tried to do that, not even for a message, but there won't be any sin there. There won't be any sickness. There won't be any sorrow. There won't be any sadness. There won't be any Satan, you know, just S's. But you can think of all kinds of things. But think of the things that will be there. Eternal life. Eternal light. Eternal joy. Paul said this. Think about what he said when he said this. He had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I don't even know if I can say that at times. I enjoy life. God's been good to me. But Paul served the Lord and he had a lot of persecution, didn't he? Well, we could name it. He was stoned, beaten with rods, in perils of his own countrymen and so forth. And on he talked about those things. Maybe that's why, but I don't think so. I think he knew going to heaven is going to be far, far better than this life has to offer. And, I don't know how I would be if I had a terminal illness or something like that. And I'm not looking for that. Whatever he wants in my life, I have to accept. But when that time comes, I trust I'll be ready, and I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to be with Christ, which is far, far better than anything this world has to offer. So, number one, there needs to be praise. Start praising the Lord. Think of things to praise the Lord for. Secondly, let's look at our verse here. It says in verse 17, another very short verse, pray without ceasing. So there needs to be prayer. There needs to be prayer. God isn't saying that we must be talking to Him all the time, but He's saying that we need to constantly looking to Him for our help and to take all our cares and concerns to Him. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Pastor shared a verse with us this morning, and it's in my notes. It's a very, very familiar verse. Probably most of us have it memorized. Philippians 4:16, he preached on this, out of this verse, be careful for nothing. Does he just tell us, just don't worry about anything? Is that all the verse says? Of course, Pastor was, he's continuing on with this, but it doesn't just say don't worry, right? But here's what you should do. Instead of worrying, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the next verse, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is, don't you worry, but here's what you do need to do, pray. So we need to be praying. Now we all know that. I know that. But if I were to ask you, how many minutes a day do you spend praying? And you'd be honest with me. Jesus rebuked his disciples, says, what? You couldn't watch with me for 1 hour? You pray an hour every day? Do you pray throughout the day? I hope you do. I hope you're instant in prayer. You bring things to God in prayer. Listen, I need to pray more than I do. And I need to stop worrying, fearing. I need to stop looking at the news. Amen? You know, you know what? Because we fear what might happen to our country. You know why we fear it so much? Is because we have it so good. What if we lived in a communist country or a country where they were persecuting Christians? We'd probably pray more then. So we need to pray. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We'll always be praying. Prayer is vitally important to the spiritual life and walk of every child of God. Listen, if you want to walk with God, I believe walking with God means that you're instant in prayer, you're reading God's Word, He's speaking to you, and you're taking time to speak to Him. And we need to pray. We need to praise the Lord, and we need to pray to our God, to our Father. And He does hear and answer prayer. Now, we could preach a whole message on things that are hindrances to prayer. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us, the Bible says. What's that mean? It means if we know there's sin in our lives and we don't do anything about it, we just, it's not that big of a deal, then God won't hear us. If we mistreat our spouse, the Bible says, our prayers are hindered. If we just think sin is just, it's no big deal, then I believe that hinders our prayer. And so we need to, the Bible says, lifting up holy hands. What's that mean? You know, when we pray, we should be clean vessels. And so part of our prayer needs to be confession of sin, agreeing with God about our sin. God, I know I'm self-centered. Would you please help me with that? I'm being honest with God. God, I don't want to be so self-centered. I don't want to be so selfish. I don't want to be life's all about me, and help me to live for others. Admit that to Him. We need to pray. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we need to pray for one another. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So pray and give thanks. Prayer isn't always just all about what we want, is it? God's convicted me about that. Don't always pray, well, Lord, do this, do that for me. No, that's not what it's about. Prayer is, again, praising God, thanking God. Pastors preach this. As I read my Bible, I see this. Much of Paul's prayers for people was for their spiritual life, and not so much for their physical. I see very little prayer in the Bible for physical. But I see a lot of prayer in the Bible for people's spiritual needs, that their faith would not fail, and that they would increase in their wisdom and knowledge of God and so forth. Those types of things, but we need to pray. But it leads us right into the next one, that verse, Colossians 4:2, watching the same with thanksgiving. The next verse we have there, it says in verse 18, another very familiar verse, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's calling us to be genuinely thankful from our hearts for His blessings in our lives. God has done so much for us, we could never repay Him. What thanks can we render unto Him? Let's be thankful. You know, one of the things in the last days, it says they'll be unthankful. Boy, aren't people unthankful today? People are rude. And they're getting worse, I think. God help me to try to set an example, especially with driving. I have people passing me on the right side of the road sometimes, and they're not a passing lane on the right side of the road. On Friday I had somebody pass me. It was a solid line. They passed me and then got in front of me, and I could see they wanted to pass the car in front of them, and I thought, oh, here's one of these drivers again. Well, then when we got to the light, I saw they were going to the hospital. So, okay, Lord, they're okay. They're fine. I won't condemn them. They must have had an emergency or something. But the thing of it is, people are crazy out there with their driving. I don't know how that's about thankfulness, but anyway, I guess I'm thankful I'm still alive on the road, because it's getting crazy. Maybe it's because I drive a Prius, right, Brother Davis? I bet you that's what it is. They probably get behind me and see a Prius. They say, this thing can't go over 15 miles an hour, so I'm going to get past them. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But anyway, no, that's happened even before I had a Prius. But being thankful. Let's see here. Why did I say all that? I don't know. Every Christian ought to be thankful. By the way, did you know what's the opposite of thankfulness? What? Hey, I'm hard to hear, and say it louder. Ungrateful, unthankful. Selfishness. Complaining, would that be one? Did you ever complain? Husbands, you ever complain about the meal your wife makes? Huh? That's where the rubber hits the road, right? complaining. We hear a lot of that. Did you know God was pretty upset with the Israelites about their complaining? Pastor took us to this verse this morning, too, and I had this in my notes. But in Numbers 14:2, it says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto him, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Can you imagine saying that? Here they were in bondage, enslaved in Egypt, and they're complaining because things are difficult. Do you think it was as difficult as it was back in Egypt? And that's like us. Here we are. We're saved and free from sin. Amen? And then we complain, oh boy, this Christian life's rough. Maybe I should have never been a Christian. No, we wouldn't say that. But, I mean, these people were complaining about their conditions and the things that were going on. He says, or would to God we had died in the wilderness. Then he said, and 14:3b, were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Can you imagine him saying that? Listen, you might not be happy about your situation, but at least you could be thankful there's a God in heaven who loves and cares for you. And I'm not saying life's easy. I said it before and I'll say it again. God never promised us to be easy, but he promised to help us. And he is helping us. Let's hold our place here. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to move on quickly here. We'll get done soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In fact, tonight I thought I wouldn't. I'm putting a lot of extra stuff in here than I'm not in my notes. I thought I'd get done so fast I'd only have 15 minutes worth of time here. And I was a little nervous about it, but anyway. Hey, I'm just trying to be me, okay? And so I hope you enjoy the message and help to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, talks about the children coming out of Egypt. And God was not pleased with them. But let's just look at one verse here. It says, neither murmur ye, verse 10, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Listen, God doesn't like complaining, does he? God wants us to be thankful. Children, learn that at a young age. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful you have Christian parents. And all of us, adults, let's be careful we don't complain around the children. Let them learn that something that displeases God. We need to be thankful people. You know, we've been made free from sin. We don't have to go back into bondage. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And I'm thankful for that. Okay, just two more real quickly. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. What does that mean? There needs to be yieldedness to the Spirit of God. To quench means to extinguish or to stifle. As Christians, we're to walk in obedience to the Spirit of God. Too often we quench the Spirit of God in our lives by doing what we want to do and not what the Spirit of God is telling us to do. Dr. Terry Coomer helped me with this when he taught his class. We went to Brogue on that. But we need to ask the Spirit, Lord, Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? And I try to practice in that in my life. I try to pray in the morning when I pray, Spirit of God, who you want me to call and encourage today? Who you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to witness to? What do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to be today? Let him try to lead me instead of, well, this is what I want to do today. No, what does the Spirit of God want me to do? It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's let the Holy Spirit of God guide our lives. Let's ask him what he wants us to do. Do you practice that? Or do you just get up in the morning and say, well, I know what has on my agenda today. I know what I'm going to do. That's how I always a lot of times did it. I had a certain thing that I was going to do, but I try to ask the Lord, Lord, Spirit of God, who do you want me to visit? By the way, do you think he knows who needs visiting? He certainly knows more than I do. He's gone. And then the last one, real quickly, which I think is one of the very important ones, verse 20, it says, despise not prophesying. What does that mean? It means we need to be open to the Word of God. The word despise means to make of no account. It means to set at naught. What he's saying here is, if you hear the Word of God preached, and you ignore that message, you're despising the Word of God. If we read God's Word, which we ought to be doing, and we say, oh, that was great, and we just do whatever we want to do, and we don't follow that, we're despising the Word of God. Listen, there are times where I'm kind of sleepy, or there might be times where my mind's not as sharp, or I'm not as attentive as I ought to be, but God has taught me that when the preacher's preaching, I need to pay attention. I need to listen on purpose. Like Pastor had preached some many years ago about our ears being dull of hearing means lazy. By the way, you may hear a message from this pulpit, or it doesn't matter who's preaching. If they're preaching the Word of God, and you say, well, that's nice, but it's not for me. If they're preaching the Word of God, it is for you, and you better not despise it. You better obey it. And you need God's help to do it. I understand that, but you need to pay attention. It is a big deal. 1 Thessalonians 4:8 says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. Listen, if somebody gets up here and they preach the Word of God, you're not despising them, you're despising God and his Word. You're saying, you're setting it at naught. You're making no account of it. I don't care what he has to say. I'm going to live my own life, do my own thing. Listen, we better be careful we don't ever have that attitude. And give you a couple more things. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. By the way, here's where we get wisdom and instruction. Right from God's Word. And listen, maybe I'm hard to listen to. I know I've listened to some preachers that I thought were hard to listen to. But if they're giving us the truth, I better listen and I better heed. I better not say, it's not a big deal that I do that. And by the way, I'm sure I've done that already. So in the times of trouble, let's make sure we're open to God's Word. We're not despising it. It's not like going to Shady Maple. We don't get to... By the way, have you ever been to Shady Maple? Probably most of you had. There were some things there, it's like, I don't like that. I just leave that alone. And so, well, I like this. I'm going to have a couple helpings of that. Buttered noodles, amen? I like buttered noodles. But the Word of God's not like that. You can't say, well, I like the idea I ought to be praying, but I don't like the idea I ought to be witnessing. I'll just leave that one alone. I'll leave somebody else do that. Now, that's despising God's Word. God says that he's commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's convicting to me because I need to be a better witness than I am. But we can't just pick and choose what we want to obey and what we don't want to obey. All the Word of God is important. Listen to what Joshua 1:8 says. You know that verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to most that's written in the book. Huh? No. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in there. And so we've got to obey all the Word of God. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Listen, we're also challenging the Bible to do more than just simply hear. We're supposed to be doers of the Word, amen? Not hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. So, I'm done. Let me give you the five things. I want you to remember these. In the times of trouble, there needs to be praise in your life. Praise the Lord. It's fitting for the Christian to praise the Lord. There needs to be prayer. Listen, we need to pray without ceasing. That means we're quick to take everything and anything to God. Even the little things. I still remember as a little boy, my mom and dad, I would mow the grass for them. I was saved at the time. I got on a riding tractor and tried to start it. It wouldn't start. Tried it again. It wouldn't start. So I, as a young Christian, I thought, well, I'll pray. And prayed and asked the Father to help me start the lawnmower and turned the key and it started. A few years ago, I was helping Aaron. He had a dead battery on a company truck that he had. We hooked it up to the battery cables and hooked it up and tried and tried. It wouldn't start. And I said, you know what? We need to pray. See if the Lord will help us. We prayed and turned the key and it started up. Just the little things. Pray about everything. You know, again, it's not that I'm some prayer warrior or anything like that, but we just need to pray. There needs to be prayer in our life. There needs to be thankfulness and there needs to be yieldedness to the Spirit of God. I'm just thinking what we want to do, but what does He want us to do? And there needs to be an openness to the Word of God. By the way, if I go home and I set this Bible on my nightstand and I don't pick it up all week, do you think that's despising the Word of God? It is. Listen, I try to emphasize that because it is just revolutionary. It just changed my life. You've got to be in God's Word. Pick it up, read it every single day. And I won't re-preach that message, but listen, the psalmist said, he esteemed God's Word more than his necessary food. That means it's more important to feed on God's Word than it is to feed on physical food. That's pretty important, I would think, because if you don't eat, you're going to die. And by the way, if you don't read God's Word and you despise God's Word, you're going to die spiritually. And what I mean by that is you're not going to lose your salvation, but you're not going to be very spiritual. Because this is a spiritual book and it feeds our spirit. And so we need to be in God's Word on a daily basis. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.